Now then, welcome along to the Daytimes podcast with me, Danny Parkinson. It's that time to have a look back at everything that's been happening across the Daytimes this week. Loads of great sports chat coming up for you. And we're going to have the likes of the Impossible Pub Quiz. We've got Greg Abbott on the way, talking about Bradford City, James Mason and Frank Stephen, the director of Matter of Heart. Our Liam dropped in, and we had a good old rant about the Sun newspaper and about Greg's as well. All that and much, much more coming up. As always, thanks a lot for taking out the time to listen to the Daytimes podcast. Much appreciated. I'm on air every weekday from 11 till 2, talking about everything happening in the world of sport and beyond. Let's start off, though, talking about Greg's. They brought an advent calendar out. It didn't go well.
Was made to try one a couple of years ago at work. Because I'd heard I'd never tried one.
Made to try one.
Yes, made, forced, down, yeah. I think I might have accidentally said something like, who puts meat in a... pie, like a sweet pie.
Well, I thought this. I thought
you
I was
also
a
thought it was
one.
Real mince.
Yeah, till I was about 20, I thought it was real mince.
I thought I was the only one. They made me feel a right idiot.
Yeah,
because it's like sultans and raisins and
yeah,
all sorts
it is.
Of
yeah,
nonsense.
Yeah. And they go,
eats
a mince pie. And
yeah,
but suddenly you don't have mince in it. It's like, you thought meat was in it. Well, what do you?
Yeah, you called it a mince.
Call it a mixed fruit pie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
change the name.
But yeah, I was made to try that, and the videoed me doing it as well. Because I thought this will be funny because he won't like. And I tried it. And it was absolutely disgusting. I knew I wouldn't like it. I didn't like anything that was in it. I knew I wouldn't like it. And I ended up spitting into a bin. Horrible gear. Horrible.
That's what happens in a newsroom. Because that's what happened when you were in a newsroom.
That was, yeah. That happens in a newsroom. We didn't fall asleep, but they did force feed me bad food.
Fair enough then, fair enough. I was looking at this as well because I saw in the paper about advent calendars, the back.
Oh,
see, back with inventions
back?
As well.
What do you mean the back?
Well, but I thought...
I mean, advent calendars ever go away?
They do for like 11 months of the year.
Yeah. Well, so in that sense, they are back, Advent calendars are back.
Who's eating them in June? But I was looking at advent calendars and I thought at one point, when you got to about 12, that was it. Oh, you didn't get an advent calendar anymore.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that was it. No, but I was just told by parents, like, that's it now, no more advent calendars. I was like, fine, accepted the news. But do you still have them? Have you always had them?
I think so. I think last year was the first year I wasn't expecting one, and I think I got two.
You got two?
And I'm still expecting the one this year now.
Oh, fair. Would you get a fancy one or what?
No, it's always been the same one, And, you know, it's tried and tested, it's never failed, it just sees you through to Christmas. Yeah.
Well, to recommend people as we go ahead to Christmas, Liam, what advent calendar is it?
I think it's just like the simple Cadbury's one. Uh-huh. Just 1 to 24, fancy Christmassy shapes.
No messing about.
No.
A little
no.
bits of chocolate.
Yeah.
Behind the door.
Absolutely.
Fair enough. Well, I've seen loads recently, loads of different types of advent calendars. Mm. We've seen, obviously, them come out, that YouTuber brought one out and it went absolutely mad. Yeah, apparently she tried to sell it for 50 quid, but it wasn't worth it. But also, Greg's have brought one out. Greg's have brought out an advent calendar that costs £24.
Okay.
Now, it's expensive, but...
pound a day.
It's interesting. Now, we will get to the advent calendar in a second, but obviously there's been quite a bit of furore about what's been happening with the advent calendar. And the Sun, again, on absolute top form, they've said...
Are they fuming?
They are fuming, Liam. They are fuming about
today.
This. I'm absolutely loving this Sunday's paper day. It's a joke. He says, Jesus crust... Fury as Greg's replace Christ with sausage roll. And then they've gone, who's that with the three mince pies there? Because obviously they've replaced the sausage roll.
Who's that with the three pies men, isn't it?
Yeah, three pies men, yeah.
Which is another
the great pun. They're on form today. They're on form. Greg's go flaky after dumping Jesus and putting sausage roll in a manger. So obviously it's caused quite a bit of fury.
According to the Sun.
But this is another one that's absolutely fantastic because obviously they're trying to create all this furore, but then they've got one of the three wise men with the caption over him coming, we come bearing gold, frankincense and ketchup. So how could he create furore?
They're sort of playing along with that.
They're sort of playing along.
Are they genuinely annoyed, or are they just saying that other people are annoyed?
I think they're just saying other people are annoyed. I don't know who's annoyed.
Other people will probably, because there's always someone's annoyed by
something.
That's it.
But I think what's more interesting is what's in the advent calendar.
Yes, of course.
This is really interesting. Mm. Now, you can get this all over the place. It's coming. I think there's one in Leeds at Central Arcade. It's not everywhere. Not every Greggs is having it. It's 24 quid. But the one biggest problem for me is obviously you get like state bakes and stuff and festive bakes and sausage rolls.
Mm.
But obviously you can't put that in an advent calendar so you get a voucher.
Of course, yeah.
Which disappoints me a bit.
What, were you expecting a steak bake in an advent calendar?
Yeah,
what, warmed up as well?
Yeah.
Some advent calendar.
I know, it'd cost more than 24 quid, but that's proper then, isn't it? You could have like a full oven.
You'd have, well, what's on number 24? Probably going to be, you know, off by then, isn't it?
Oh, behind the number 24 is a £5 gift voucher.
Oh, there you go then.
It's all right, isn't it? But you can't spend that for a bit, can you? It's just disappointing.
Yeah, no one's going to Greg's on Christmas Day, are they?
No, it'd be depressing if you did, wouldn't it? What are you doing for Christmas Day, Danny? I'm going to get a festive bake and sit down and watch Mary Poppins. That's a solid Christmas.
Well, it says there's only 500 of them.
Yeah, I think this
is like really, really good publicity. It's like, we're going to do something, we've got a really good idea, we're just not going to give it to anyone.
Well, it's true, because apparently it's worth between 35 and 60 quid, so losing money.
Yeah, but they're so not, well just not losing much money, because, yeah, you know, they'll be all over the news now.
Oh, that's exactly it. I mean, they're just about everywhere, to be honest with you. But I get that, to be honest with you. If you could have a perfect advent calendar, what would you have, Liam? In your, you know, what of all your interests, because you've
a
got
lot
many.
There's a lot of quirky advent calendars now. Like, there's one that had, like, gin for every day. You know, you get, like, a shot of gin or vodka or something.
You
like
gin?
No, I don't like gin at all. Horrible gear.
Well, you wouldn't like it then, would you?
No, not
that'd
that
be a
one.
Dreadful advent calendar.
Yeah, it is. 24 shots of gin. No, I don't, but there's people who really do. Oh, Prosecco's another one.
Yeah.
There was another more adult-themed one, which, you know... Probably not.
Move on.
Radio worthy. To be honest, the chocolate one's never failed me.
Yeah.
You know, it's a standard Cadbury's advent calendar, it never fails.
Old reliable then, yeah. Liam, old reliable. Well, I'm glad we've got the world sorted with that one then. Me and our Liam there having a good chat about Greg's there and the new advent calendar. I think I'll give that one a swerve. Anyway, let's have a look at what's happening with the world of Bradford City, because Matter of Heart came out this week. Well, the Premier did. I went down there and had a catch up with the head of recruitment and chief scout, Greg Abbott, to have a good chat about everything happening over at Bradford City.
So we're down here at the National Science and Media Museum at Bradford. We've just watched Matter of Heart, the documentary all about Bradford City. And one of the star men, Greg Abbott, up on the silver screen. Do you ever think you'll be making an appearance like that, Greg?
Well, I don't think I'll be getting many more after tonight. I've got a great face for radio, but I struggle for the TV screen. No, it's the club I belong to, it's the club Stuart belongs to. I've not seen it. I was the only one that has been given a link to watch it prior to tonight, but refused to watch it because I wanted to watch it with everybody else, you know, from scratch. And yeah, it's interesting, really sort of interesting. And it's a difficult one to describe. I've been involved in football all my life, so I know what it's like in a change room, but I've never seen a documentary put together with so much honesty and people saying exactly how it is and what they think. It's an interesting view.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Greg, because when I watched it, I was surprised how much emotion was involved in it, not just from yourself, but Stuart, Edin, Stefan, and just the emotion of what was just an unbelievable rollercoaster of a year last year.
Yeah, but I think the club's very special to Stuart and myself for obvious reasons. I've been here a long time as well, and Stuart's third visit or fourth visit even, you know, more comebacks than Frank Sinatra, I think, to Bradford City, but... Edin and Stefan, yeah, it's bound to be special. It's their club now, so it's emotional for them. And the roller coaster of football, it's their first season in the game. I think me and Stuart said it's 37 consecutive years in professional football. So we've sort of been around a bit and seen quite a bit and done quite a bit and at different levels, obviously. But that tonight was a real eye-opener as when you put it all together, all the emotions, you realise just what the game means to you. I mean, listen, Bill Shankly said it's more important, football's more important than life or death or something like that. It's not quite as important as that, but it just shows you how close it takes you to the mark. And I think tonight was quite special for the Bradford fans to see what the club means to a lot of people.
And that's exactly it, Greg, because obviously we saw the emotion after the playoff final. We saw how Edin and Stefan were and how emotional you were before the game as well. This club means so much to you. You could see it in that film. We've seen it so many times. You must have been hurting after that Millwall defeat at the time.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when you're powerless, you've done everything you can. Wembley comes along and it's in the hands of Stuart and Kenny and the players. My job's complete, do you know what I mean? But I know what it would have meant to Stuart, to the chairman, to the owners, to the fans, to the players, to everybody. To me, you know, it hurt, really hurt. And before the game, it was special because I think we came in against all the odds, really. You know, Stuart, one by one, players and staff and all that, thrown together a little bit, if you like, but cleverly thrown together, I would like to think. With some good people, some tremendous people working at the club, and we were that close. And it's not easy to replicate, so you know, you've got to try and do it all over again. lost six big players at the end of the season, had to start again, doing all right again at the minute, having a wee little, you know, indifferent spell, but you know, with the people we've got, we think we can, you know, resolve that and kick on and hopefully do a little bit better this season, which obviously means, you know, you get where you want to be.
That's exactly it, Greg. And also, it showed a lot about the sort of the way that things go on behind the scenes at Bradford, the way that how you play your role at the club and Stuart and so on. He was on about sort of the manager in England usually takes care of everything. You've managed yourself. It is a bit of a different system under Edin and Stefan.
Yeah, but I think me and Stuart work really closely together, and I help Stuart as much as I can with a lot of things. He helps me a lot with other things. Kenny helps a lot. Edin and Stefan are there to answer to. I think between us, we get there. You know, we all try and have our individual roles, but we're all together in and united in the decisions we end up making. Hey, it's not always easy. It's not always plain sailing, but you know, you got some strong people there. Some people emotionally caring and professional about what they do. So, you know, if we have to fall out now and again to get the end result, that's what we have to do. And sometimes we have done. I've had differences with Stuart and vice versa, but not differences that would affect any sort of relationship. You know, we all try and talk about what's the right and wrong thing to do, and at the end of it, Stuart's the manager and I support him with everything I've got. And I think, you know, what he's done over last year and what he's doing at the minute, it gives him a really strong case to taking the club forward. I think he's, you know, we're on the right lines and we're making nice progress all the time.
It really seems that way, because you look at the start of when Stefan Edin came in, the eight players and so on, and you actually look at it now, it almost seems like the foundations are there for a really good Bradford squad. So that when eventually, after time, Bradford do get promotion, they've got a really solid basis there now. You've really built a squad with some great young players in there.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you've got to do in football is you've almost got to be sustainable. So, like what we did last year was exceptional. We missed out by the narrowest of margins. It'd be no good this season. We end up third or fourth or fifth from bottom. You know, what we've done is sustain the progress. You know, we're knocking about the top four or five. We have done all through Stuart's campaign. Yeah, we need one or two bits and pieces, not just on the playing staff, on the full infrastructure of the club, to take us forward that extra bit to get us where we want to be.
Just finally, Greg, obviously it's so close last season. Could Rafa do it this season?
All I can say is we'll be giving it everything we've got. You know, we'll be trying as hard as we can. We won't leave too many stones unturned. We'll make the most of the resources we've got. We'll be as competitive as we can be. And it would just be the dream, you know, for Stuart and Kenny and myself and all the owners and people connected to the club. But if we don't do it this year, we keep trying next year. It won't stop us having a go, but we'll be doing our best. And I think that's all the Bradford fans ever expect, is for people to go in there and show that they're trying their best for the sake of the club. And I think they're getting that in abundance at the moment.
Greg Abbott there, speaking to me all about Bradford City's season so far, the recruitment, and of course, matter of heart, the new film that's there as well. Now, as I was saying before, our Liam came in earlier this week and I had to have a good look through the papers. It's here on Radio Yorkshire. It's 16 minutes past 12 online and on DAB on your Thursday afternoon. You a big fan of that one, Liam? Big fan
of that song? I do like the song, but when I first heard it, I was very ill at uni, and it always takes me back to being very ill at uni, so it's kind of spoiled it for me.
Fair enough then, Liam. Well, while you're in, also, because some of the best times that we ever had was me just asking you questions, generally.
Okay, yeah.
And you used to ask them really quickly. So I'm going to do the same thing again.
Risky game.
It's a risky game with you, to be fair, but I like to live dangerously.
Feels like this should be pre-recorded.
If you were going to have a cat, Liam, what would you name it?
I'd probably name it, like, after my neighbour's children. Just like, if my neighbour had a son called Jack, I'd name any pets, like, Jack or...
Why?
You'd mess with him.
What, so you just shout for the cat?
Yeah, sort of, yeah. And also, like, if they then had another son called, like, David, I'd then name another pet David. And it's just, there's a long-running theme of...
So let me just take you through this, right? So you're living down in Stoke at the moment, right?
Yeah.
And next door, say they've got seven kids. So you're just going to get seven pets.
Well, no, I'm just saying, if I got a pet, I'd name it after their children, just like one by one. I wouldn't need any names. It'd just be just whatever they've named the kids.
Thing to go around it.
That's
more than I could have ever dreamt of. Thanks for coming in today, Liam. That was worth it by itself. Let's start off with what I was reading for the paper today. The sun's on Fontbodale, Liam. the Sun is on absolute form. I don't know if they thought that they knew you were coming in and they wanted us to chat about happening in the Sun.
Could have done.
Because it's on form. We'll get on to Greg shortly, because the Greg's thing's amazing. First off, though, front page of the Sun.
Mm.
Right, there's a lot going on in the world.
There is a lot.
In the world. Mm. Obviously, everything happening with Zimbabwe at the moment, that could have made the front page.
Cool,
You know, there's quite a lot else happening with Brexit and so on.
Mm.
What they've done, though, is they've gone exclusive TV scandal. It's a scandal, is this
TV Liam. Scandal?
Yeah, TV scandal. BBC News Channel staffers sleeping on the job. Here is the snooze. The puns are amazing. The puns are worth it.
The puns better than the story, actually, isn't it?
Obviously, we've both worked in newsrooms over the years. Not over there, but we've both worked in newsrooms generally.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, it is fairly busy at times. You know, sometimes a slow news day, it isn't. Now, it's just got loads of different photos of people it looks like they're sleeping. Apparently, on the what they've done is the press or the BBC have come out and said, no, it's not right.
It's not right.
Taken out of context a little bit.
Right.
But what I absolutely love is just everything about this. And one bit here, it says, the whistleblower. Apparently, they call it a whistleblower, like Edward Snowden.
He's
just taken photos of people sleeping.
Who is this guy?
I don't know who this person is.
Who's going around
Imagine that, though. Imagine that just in the office going, oh, it's a bit of a joke. And apparently, it said it started off as a bit of a joke, but it started to get really annoying. When people were snoring. Probably taken back in 2013, so thanks for keeping on for 5 years. the whistleblower said, in a 12-hour shift, I would estimate some staff do around an hour's work. And I was just like, this is the overnight shift, though, as well. Some of them probably, you know, it's tiring, all the rest of it. But some of these puns are amazing. Worker keeps with headphones on. Maybe he's listening to BBC Radio snore. Snoozing journo didn't even wait for book at bedtime. Whoever's done this, well done.
Sometimes there's elements of my job where I think this is phenomenally true. What am I doing? This isn't the job. It must be the same for them. Thinking when they're coming up with these, what am I doing?
Imagine the editor coming in.
Radio snore.
Liam, you've got 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You're right. Just I've got some pictures, some BBC staff snoring.
Yeah.
What could you do? Just come up with some puns underneath.
Yeah, absolutely. Snore. Four.
This one's great as well. Flat out with flat cap. He's got a flat cap over his head while snoring, to give you some context there. Shielding his eyes, a BBC worker while he's asleep. Dozy worker may be listening to Radio 4's Kipping podcast. Brilliant. I'm loving these puns.
Is that fishing?
It's a sea forecast.
Yeah, it is, but what's it?
It's not called
shipping, isn't it?
Shipping forecast,
the
sea forecast.
What did I call it? Fishing
that's
forecast.
It. But they've gone full page exclusive. All over it, like page after page of just
Kipping forecast.
Forecast. I'm loving the puns on here so far.
That's good.
Absolutely phenomenal. Viewers and license fee payers will be shocked by the wastage. This is the best bit, though. this one's great. I'm not for privatisation. And it's a bit like when you say something like that, you're definitely for it.
I'm not, but.
But the BBC needs it. Just unbelievable.
I will say I am a licence fee payer and viewer, and I can't say I'm shocked by any of this. I'm neither shocked nor appalled.
No, I'm not either. Probably saying, you know, like, oh, you can watch what you like, but don't put it on.
You know what?
Desk, but...
I could have taken this more seriously if they'd not littered it with puns. If they'd have treated it seriously, then maybe, you know, fair enough. But it's just a joke, isn't it? The whole thing's a joke.
And I love the way that you know, Liam, they're having a good chat about everything happening with... the BBC and what was on the front page of the Sun. It must have been a slow news day. Let's have a look elsewhere. I also caught with James Mason at the premiere of Matter of Heart earlier on this week. We had a good chat about Bradford City, some of the times that they had last season, and that premiere of the new documentary, Matter of Heart.
So, James, we are here at the Pitch House at the National Science and Media Museum, just about to watch Bradford City on the silver screen. I imagine you're excited.
Yeah, it's certainly a first, Danny. I mean, Bradford City and silver screen, who'd have thought those two would go together? But listen, it's something a little bit different. It's quite exciting, yeah. We've got the lights, the camera, the action. Everyone's dressed to the nines and looking good. So we're excited, yeah.
Mm, some real enthusiasm. I was just talking to Francis, the director there. Some real enthusiasm from the production staff. I imagine everyone at Bradford City is just enthusiastic and looking forward to seeing this now as well.
Yeah, a little bit apprehensive. You know, it's like a home movie, so you're never 100% happy with the way things sort of turn out in that respect. But I'm sure the true test of it will be what other people think, yourselves and the fans and other people here watching it tonight. And then other football fans, so that's the key. But I don't think anyone will be disappointed. There's something in it for everyone. If you just look at the season that we had, you know, a brilliant rollercoaster ride of a season, just missed out at Wembley, new German owners, losing the manager, Stewart coming in, signing Charlie White. So it's got everything. So it's a good football story, it's a good business story, a good human interest story. Yeah, it should be good.
Yeah, and that's one thing as well. We're just talking about the sort of the year as a whole, because it was... 1 year on from Edin Stefan taking over was actually that day at Wembley. So much happened in between then. It's usually what had happened to a football club maybe in 3 or 4 years, really, all crammed into one season.
Yeah, I don't think they could have expected the rollercoaster ride that they jumped on the day they took over Bradford City. You know, they probably wanted some fallow months to just get settled in and everything to happen, you know, go along as it normally had for the last few months. But yeah, everything changed in an instant. You know, the manager changing, as we mentioned, that in itself is a big thing to happen to a football club, especially an established manager, a new one coming in. So the old guard and Stewart coming back in. You know, James Hansen saying he wanted to leave at Christmas, which he's well and truly within his rights to do as a footballer, but of course he'd been one of our major players for so long, and then having to try and replace him, which we've done ably, and everything that goes along with that, the wins, the losses. You know, at some point we were really going for it and then it went a bad run and then eventually it all ended at Wembley sadly with a bit of heartache. But listen, that's football.
You're exactly right there, and you just look at the when I was talking to Francis about it, there is a real culture at Bradford City, a bit of an underdog story there as well for a lot of its history, and it seems like that's something that's going to come across in the film as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, we've always been the underdogs, haven't we, at Bradford City, whether it's been, you know, Leeds United, our rivals, or now Huddersfield Town up in the Premier League. So in that respect, yeah, we've always been the underdogs. We're a big city, but we're a poor city. You know, we're fighters. And in that respect, yeah, that suits us. That's our image. And that's something that we can all assimilate with. And yeah, I'm happy with that.
I remember you started talking a few times about maybe even a sequel at some point, and maybe it'd have that happy ending at the end of it that just didn't come round this last season.
This is it, exactly. You know, all good films like this deserve a happy ending. So I think at the end of the film we should have put "to be continued," because, you know, we're fourth on the table at the moment. Stewart's doing really well again with a new side, a completely, you know, changed side from the side that finished at Wembley. So in that respect, yeah, "to be continued" would be lovely to go on and produce a second series and go all the way this time, wouldn't it? That'd be the icing on the cake, I think, for all the fans, for the chairman, and for this project that we're on together.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And of course, obviously, coming off the back of the Plymouth result, but looking at the Wigan game, to be honest with you, Bradford have they've had some good times there over the years. Of course, in the FA Cup, no, sorry, it was the League Cup run, where there was all that 5,000 fans there, the big scalp there at the time. It's one of those that sort of goes under the radar, that game, doesn't it, from everything that happened in the League Cup days, but hoping for a good result down there at the weekend.
Yeah, it was the start of that wonderful run, wasn't it? I remember, you know, the 5,000 fans being there behind the goals, sucking the ball into it, start of the penalty, you know, the penalty shootout run as well, where we couldn't lose on penalties. But you're right, you know, Plymouth was a bitter pill to swallow, because they came and I thought they played brilliantly. You know, they defended well, they took their one chance well and did particularly well, and on any other day we would have won it 4 or 5-1. But equally, I think playing against Wigan and the likes of Scunthorpe and Shrewsbury, they've got to play in the next few weeks, these are sides that are going to come and attack, which will open the game up for us, which will probably suit us. We've seen that at MK Dons and various other games. You know, when teams want to play an attack, you know, we've got players that can rival anyone in the division. It just happened that an obdurate Plymouth side just proved too much for us, but we hit the bar 2 or 3 times, missed a penalty, so we've got to dust ourselves down and go for the 3 points against Wigan. But that's what Edin and Stewart and Greg and myself and Stefan have said all along. We'd rather get a couple of wins and maybe a couple of defeats than, you know, 2 or 3 draws. So that seems to be the way the season's going. Yeah, we've lost that impenetrable home record, but we're getting 3 points more often than we did last year, but we just need to keep doing that now on a regular basis.
That's very, very true. And just finally as well, James, looking at it, when you see the sort of culture at the club and how it's all worked together, because of course German owners and English club, it's not seen too often in English football, but I'm looking forward to seeing how you all work together, you, James, Greg, Stewart, and I imagine that's something that Bradford City fans are looking forward to see. How's it been working in that over the last sort of year or so?
Yeah, it's been a real culture change for all of us, because, you know, yes, we're a football club, we're a business, but as you mentioned, you know, German owners coming into an English business, they bring both their, you know, their business principles, but also their footballing principles. And who can argue with the German football model over the last 10, 15, 20 years? They've won the World Cup, they've won the European Championships, they've won the Champions League. So in that respect, they know something about football, don't they? And you've got to respect that. But equally, Stefan and Ed, in their own right, are businessmen of some serious clout. So they've come in here to be successful. They've not come here to make up the numbers. And they've changed things that they thought needed changing. That means we've lost some members of staff. That means some members of staff have stayed here. You know, again, that's a business case study that you'll see in the film tonight, you know. And they're going to do it their way. They're here to be successful. They're here to be deliberate. They know exactly what they want. They're very focused individuals, and you know what? They'll probably achieve it.
Oh, well, James, thanks a lot for joining us tonight. I know you're very, very busy and looking forward to the film. It should be an absolute cracker.
Enjoy it. Top man. Cheers, pal. Bye-bye.
James Mason, very passionately there, speaking about Matter of Heart, the new documentary on Bradford City. But also caught up with the director as well, German director, Franz Steven. Talked to him all about the production and what's next for Matter of Heart.
Yeah, we started filming in August 2016, and the eighth episode, what we see today are the first four, and these are the four episodes of a TV series we start. In the editing, now we edit the fifth episode. And I hope we can continue.
And it's fantastic to hear as well. How much have you been involved in sort of filming documentaries in the world of football? And what do you know of Bradford City before you started filming?
We are specialised in long-term documentaries. That's the reason why we had the chance to film it. And we are also specialised in filming football topics. Mm. We have been working with Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund and others. And it was fantastic to hear that we had the chance to film an English club. Mm. And this fantastic story, two Germans buying an English club in the motherland of football. And so I was really very happy. And also that we have a chance to have a look behind the scenes. Mm. And I think here it's real football. Yeah, I have goosebumps in the stadium. Yeah, so I love it.
It's fantastic to hear, because obviously there's a lot of talk about Bradford City and the sort of crowd it gets for sort of third tier football. What do you make of the atmosphere? What did you make of it when you first sort of walked in and you were filming everything over at Bradford?
I think it was really fantastic. And I think what is absolutely special, that it's a family club, that you have, I think, about 3,000 children under 11 in the stadium. Mm. It's a fantastic story, and I like the people here and the atmosphere, and it's really great for me.
Mm. And it's fantastic to me, because there's obviously so much that has happened over one season. I mean, sometimes you wouldn't get this in the world of football. Obviously, a manager leaving, major signings being made, the trip to Wembley and all the rest of it.
It's especially the trip to Wembley. Yeah. Yeah. And we were also filming the Fleetwood game, the second, when we went to Fleetwood. And also the atmosphere there, and the fans travelling to Fleetwood. We had one team in a bus joining the supporters on the way to Fleetwood. It was a really dream. Mm. And I think, it was an unhappy end, but I hope this year can be better.
Mm, I was going to say, it sets it up well for a sequel then, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I hope that we have a chance in this season with a team. And yeah. But nevertheless, I think it is a fantastic story. And so you have to wait for the happy end a little bit. We think in a long term, and say Wembley was the fourth episode. Mm. And the incredible story is that Stefan and Edin bought the club the 20th of May 2016, and Wembley was the 20th of May 2017.
Yeah.
So to get promoted within 1 year, I think, yeah. Could be too much. Too much luck.
That was very, very true. And you obviously talked there about Edin and Stefan coming in. What was it like to sort of receive that in Germany? Because obviously there aren't many German owners in English football.
No, I think this is special in this story because they are the first who bought an English club. And I think at the moment, I think two productions start filming Premier League club, Man City, and also in Serie A, Juve. But I think real football happens here. So I hope and think that this story could attract more people than the others. Okay, Man City has a lot of fans, but you can watch how rich people becomes rich. And this is the story of an underdog with fantastic supporters on the way to the top.
Is that something that, that does come across, obviously, with Bradford City? There's been the likes of Leeds United and so on. They have always been a bit of an underdog, Bradford City. Is that something that's really come across while you've been here?
Yes, I think this is an essential part of the story. But you have, with support, also a fire tragedy plays an important role. I think you have here a special community. This is unique. And this is, of course, an essential part of the story.
Well, Francis, it's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm really looking forward to seeing the film. Bradford City fans out there, I imagine they were looking forward to it as well. They should be excited for this one, really.
Yes, I'm also enthusiastic because I'm a Bradford City fan and I soak up everything, all the things, like a sponge.
Yeah.
And I collect the paraders. I have all the books about Bradford City. I had a long interview with John Dewhurst. Yeah. I have a Jimmy Spears medal at my home. I have a FA Cup winner team picture in my office. So, I'm really happy that I can do this production.
Now, it wouldn't just be the Daytimes podcast if it wasn't just sports chat and some fun as well. We have to have the Impossible Pub Quiz. And this time, I'm hosting it again. It's our time to test our brains on this Monday afternoon. I am joined, as always, by Katma. How are you doing, Kat?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Cheers, not bad. Not a bad weekend, to be honest. Fairly quiet. Sam Bridges joins us as well.
Afternoon, Danny.
Afternoon to you, Sam. And a rare appearance it's become now, Andy Lawson, on the Impossible Pub Quiz.
Yeah, but I look forward to it every time you ask me to be on, so thank you, Danny.
Happy days, happy days. Well, quite a lot of people have come into this room because the studio has become the warmest place in the building, which is a change. It's usually the coldest place
in
the building.
That's true.
I thought it was really popular at first, people coming in to see me. They're not, they're just warming up for a bit. That's all they're doing.
It's the only reason I'm here, really.
Well, that's it. That's why everyone's here. With 5 minutes to spare, runs in already. So let's go for the quiz, shall we? Sam will be happy because it's back on a Monday. She weren't happy when I put it on a Thursday for once.
No, all these changes.
Yeah.
I'm not happy because Kat's not doing the questions. You're doing them.
Yeah, I didn't realise Kat wasn't doing the questions.
Yeah, it's me doing Kat the off. Questions today. It's me doing the questions. Well, Kat can be on last week. Kat can be on next week.
Yeah.
Fancy it, Kat. Do the questions again. We're just going to keep Sam happy. That's what it's all about. So it's all about. It doesn't like change. So we'll go for the pub quiz team names first, shall we? We'll go for you first, Sam. What are you thinking?
After you had your little snack before, I've gone with protein bread. It's the future.
You know,
I've tasted it, Danny.
I'm going to say, have you stolen my bread? I won't be happy about that. Knock your point off immediately. Just a little, because you might not know this. I was, my dad were doing shopping actually. We nipped at shop, and he went, "Damn, look." Protein bread. And I was like, this is ace. It's bread with protein in it. But I put cottage cheese on it. It tastes garlicky now for some reason.
Ooh.
It's nice. It's like garlic bread.
I think your cheese is off.
I suspect it might be as well.
Or you've just got garlic cheese.
It don't go out with it for another week or so. It's cottage cheese, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
So, all right.
But
we'll see what happens. So, Sam, I like that one.
Thanks.
Andy, what are you thinking?
Well, based on a quick bit of research, there's been this survey done in Australia where they've named a ferry, and they've named it Ferry McFerry Face.
Oh,
so brilliant that.
Brilliant. I thought they were going to name it after me at first, so that's a
Alas,
shame.
Alas, not, Danny.
That's a shame, that's a shame. And Katma?
This is a panic one.
Panic one.
Christina Aguilera.
Okay then. Going for an Old Faithful there. Going for an Old Faithful, that one. Original, that's what we can say. Anyway, loving the pub quiz team name so far. Anyway, I haven't had to bring out the tumbleweed or anything so far, so this is a good start.
Hey.
It's a good start.
I keep forgetting we're playing to you, though. I keep thinking we're playing to Cat.
Yeah, all of a sudden
this.
We're all just going to look at Cat for a question.
Yeah,
could
exactly.
be better if it just went, Cat, give us a quiz, five questions. But let's go for number one, shall we? It's three sports questions, two general knowledge, and we'll start off with boxing. Sam will be happy as our boxing and York correspondent.
Give me a question on York, I'll be happy.
Oh, fair enough then, I will do it.
2011 to 2012 season.
Oh, those were the days. Bootham Crescent. Let's start off with number one then, shall we? Always a good place to start. In boxing, Tyson Fury wants a comeback against Anthony Joshua. He said that quite publicly. But who does he want? Who does he want him to walk out with?
Huh?
Who does he want walking out with him? You know when you have people like Josh Warrington?
Yeah, with Josh, Tyson Fury.
Yeah. I'll give you a clue.
Oh, yeah, clue.
It's not Les Dennis. That's your clue this time around.
Wow. So you know, I have like, heard this, but yeah. I think...
It was
it's a ridiculous one, isn't it?
It's tweeted out. He put it on the public domain of Twitter. You know, like you had Josh Warrington with Danny Maguire and... You know, I've had it a few times. Usually it's whatever football team they support.
Yeah, I'm going to go for... Yeah,
now, I've got a completely random name. It will be wrong, I'm sure. But
well, it's
I
not Les Dennis, so I've given you
well,
that
no,
one.
No, I'm sort of working in that sphere of entertainer level, yeah. though, but not Les Dennis.
Sam, if you're going to have someone to walk you out, who do you have?
Robbie Blake.
Robbie Blake! Yes! That's brilliant. What about you, Andy?
Oh, Christopher Schindler. Absolutely, 100%.
Fair enough, then. Bit of a hold
I think
you'd
say Narky Wells.
Nah, no, he's a Burnley player these days.
Yeah, so I'm happy. What about you, Kat?
I have no idea. Sorry, I can't even...
No, it's all right. Don't worry about it. I'm happy to walk any boxer out, by the way. Just please do get in contact with us. studio@radioyorkshire.co.uk. Happy to do it. Happy to do it for a few quid. I'm happy to do anything. Anyway, let's go on to number two, shall we? In pizza. Still a sport question. What does Pepper John's founder blame for their declining sales?
Oh.
It's a sport one, so it's not the fact that they're very expensive.
Oh, I think I know this.
Just saying.
Is it English related or is it like an American question, really?
No comment.
I think I know this.
I could not possibly say. But if Andy's getting it, that'll...
Yeah,
that
must be...
It'll
be American.
I mean, like...
No, it means it'll be NFL or something related.
I'm not saying a word.
What does Pepper John's founder blame for the declining sales? Can you look really confused? Or is it a thinking face?
Confused.
Fair enough. So we've all got that one. All happy with that one?
Yep.
Happy days. Well, let's move on to number three, which usually comes after one and two. In quotes.
Who said this?
In quotes.
That's never...
In the
never heard
of
a game show. In quotes.
In quotes. We're going very highbrow now in quotes. Who said this? I can do it in any accent you want, but I'll just do it my own for now. Because otherwise, you know, it might give something away. They threw everything at me. There were baguettes, orange juice, Coca-Cola. I could have had lunch. This is not football. It's not the way to go.
Ooh.
It's like going into a restaurant and hitting the chef with a knife and fork. Who said that? Give you a clue. It's not Les Dennis.
Oh, I'll have to scribble that out then.
Les Dennis didn't say it.
It's a famous... See, when I don't know a question, I like to make a little note. I'll have to make a note for that.
It's true, actually, to be fair. It's true. It's like
awful
I am reciting
question.
Poetry.
Oh, absolutely.
Which I have experience of on top of Moors. Which got me the job here, Sam.
It did, yeah.
Back in the day. I was dressing all
when
smart.
Danny was a nice lad everybody liked
before show business got to me and I started having a mug with my face on that I got this
and
morning
eating protein bread
yeah oh but I used to live off spam
so that was the Danny we all loved
oh yeah loved he's gone now anyway let's move on to number four which is the general knowledge part of things. What significant discovery was found in Swanage, Dorset? It's not Les Dennis.
Recently.
Last week or so.
Say that again.
What significant discovery was found in Swanage, Dorset?
Hmm. Might know this.
Not Les Dennis, Andy.
Thanks, Danny. Thanks.
I know you're thinking that. Richard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Might be thinking he was doing panto there or something. It's not.
Can it be kind of vague, but in the right order? Right. ballpark?
Yeah, I mean, it's just got to be... Yeah.
Just say the question again, because I've just got Les Dennis in my mind now.
What I'm doing to throw him off there.
Les Dennis's body.
I'm his agent. I'm trying to get him work. What significant discovery was found in Swanee's Dorset? I just realised what you said. But yeah, what was found there? Not Les Dennis. Not game show related. So it's not Nick Weir.
I've not even put an answer.
Not is it bones? Related. What's that?
Is it bones? Am I on the right lines with the body?
I don't know. I could not possibly comment. I don't want to give anything away, so I don't want to give anything away. Should we move on to number five? Thanks, Kat. Who sung the John Lewis advert, which is a cover of the Beatles' Golden Slumber?
Aha. That I do.
You have to get that.
Yeah,
as a radio DJ.
Aye.
As a radio DJ. Golden Slumber's a great song, by the way, by the Beatles. I recommend it highly.
Decent, but this cover version, I'm less pleased. Pleased with it.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's a bit...
It's a bit...
Yeah.
Pound signs in the eyes.
Mm. Yeah, you can't go wrong with the Beatles. They're the best bits. I just saw a documentary on them the other day on Saturday night. Stayed in. Watched a Beatles documentary.
That's rock and roll. Showbiz life for Danny.
It was good, though. It was good. Anyway, you're happy with the questions? You want me to recite any more, or should we go to an advert and then you can say, please repeat every one of them?
Can we have number four again, please?
What significant discovery was found in Swanage, Dorset?
Okay. That.
Fantastic. Right, you're happy with the quiz?
No.
Good! Time for the answers of the Impossible Pub Quiz. Kat, are you confident?
Not at all.
Not at all?
No, not in the slightest.
Fair enough. Sam?
Not really.
Andy, you are, though.
Oddly so, yeah. I don't know why, but yeah.
Interesting. So we had the pub quiz team names. Kat, what was yours again?
Christine Aguilera.
Sam?
Protein bread. It's the future.
So much louder. And Andy Lawson.
Ferry McFerryface.
All of them sort of good.
I know which way you're going with this.
I'm going to have to go for Sam.
Come on, Danny.
I thought that was great. I thought it was really good. Because protein bread is the future. Now, I think it's the way I said it at the time as well.
I did say it.
Sam, it's the future. Like, I was going to take shares in it. It's everywhere.
Yeah, we should do.
I feel full just thinking about it.
Me too.
Exactly. Yum, yum. Anyway, let's go for number one. A good place to start. As remember, it's not Les Dennis. In boxing, Tyson Fury wants a comeback against Anthony Joshua, but who does he want to walk him out? Katmar.
Okay, I had three answers. I was originally going to go with Alan Carr because he seems to be an answer every week on the quiz.
And then I said, he's not a game show host.
Yeah. And then I thought Alan Jones because he's religious, and then I thought it's ridiculous. And then I thought Rod Stewart because I felt like he was a crooner. So I'm settling on Rod Stewart.
Brilliant. As I tend to do on the daytimes when I'm running out of music. Good answer, Kat, but you are wrong. Sam?
Is it Donald Trump?
Andy Lawson.
Ooh, like that. Well, I think that he is obsessed with watching Phoenix Nights when he trains. So I was going to say Bob Carroll G's, who was in Phoenix Nights, and then I just swapped to Peter Kay.
Oh, fair enough then. I'm glad you went for a more less niche reference there.
Right,
there?
Yes. I'm happy people a certain age will remember Bob Carroll G's.
You're right there. There's a couple of people going, ah, ha, ha, I like that, Andy Lawson. I'm going to listen to the afternoons from 2 to 6. Chris, you are wrong, but great answer. I wish it was Rod Stewart, and I wish it was Peter Kay.
I bet it is Donald Trump, though, isn't it?
It is Donald Trump. Well done to you there,
Sam. Two of the
Sam.
World's great trash talkers.
Well done to you there, Sam. He did. He actually tweeted him saying, want to be involved in one of the biggest fights in boxing history at the real Donald Trump. Bit busy, though, isn't he?
Is he?
Mind you, if you got him on a golf course, he'd be sound then, wouldn't you? I think that'd be funny, just have him there. Might get, like, Bob Dole or something, though, on.
Wow, old school American political
old
reference.
School American, yeah, wow. I like to get them in occasionally. Number two, in pizza, or as the kids say, za, what does Papa John's founder blame for declining sales? Kat Marr.
The scheduling of the NFL.
Ooh.
I went for another pizza company sponsors the NFL.
Ooh, Andy Lawson.
I think it's the retirement of a player. It was Peyton Manning, I think, who used to play a big part in Papa John's adverts.
You know, you are all so close. You are all so close, but you're all wrong. It was actually the protests in the NFL. It's Papa John said, the kneeling. NFL is hurting us and the kneeling of protests and so on. You're all so close, though. You're all so close.
How is that related to the pizza?
I don't know. He said it.
Do they sponsor it then? Yeah.
Yeah.
So
people
are
watching the adverts.
He was like, the NFL hurts us. I'm only going off the Papa John's pizza adverts. I can think about. In number three, in quotes, who said this? Do you like the reacting, or do you like to do a different voice?
I'd like you to, just ham it up a bit more, please.
Fair enough then. It's, fair enough.
A bit more Shakespearean.
They threw everything at me. There were baguettes, orange juice, Coca-Cola. I could have had lunch. This is not football. It's not the way to go. It's going to... It's like going to a restaurant and hitting the chef with a knife and fork. Good.
You've not got the part.
Oh, no.
Next.
I just really want it to be in Hamlet. Kat, what have you gone for?
I thought that sounded a lot like Mr. Eric Cantona.
Oh, yeah, that's a good shout.
Yeah,
good shout.
I thought that. Then I thought... Patrice Evra has got himself in some hot water.
Ooh, you know, it's interesting that. It's interesting, Andy.
Well, I thought about Trawlermen and Seagulls and all that and thought it sounded very a la Cantona.
Believe it or not, it was Neymar
what?
Who said it. Yeah, after the 2-2 draw with Marseille.
Oh, he's always moaning now.
The Stade de Vélodrome. I mean, he can moan. I mean, when you're wearing those types of jeans that he's wearing for that amount of money, does what he wants, doesn't he? Does what he wants. Imagine what you like when you get a local radio daytimes programme. Imagine what I'd become. Imagine what Neymar. Imagine what I'd be like with Neymar's money. Insufferable. Anyway, let's go for number four, shall we? So no right answers on that one. No right answers. Fair enough. What significant discovery was found in Swanage, Dorset? It's not Les Denny. Sorry, to do with him.
Or his career.
Or his career. Or his panto.
I have no idea. I just went for a dinosaur.
A dinosaur. Just a dinosaur.
Yeah, well, you said don't be specific.
Like
no,
Barney.
No.
Like
no, just a dead one.
Margaret, there's a dinosaur on the beach. Massive, how do we miss that?
Oh, Kat? I just remembered what it is, I think. I went for type of dinosaur / bird evolutionary thing because I picked up many a fossil from there.
Many a fossil. Yeah. Cats hoarding fossils back at the house.
From Dorset, not necessarily Swanage.
How was your day in Swanage, Cat?
This is what we do in the south.
Want to buy some fossils? Big count. Want to buy some fossils? Andy.
Well, I think it was something seen on Google Maps, and Darren is going to go mad because I don't know the name of it. I don't think, but is it not the ship from Star Wars, like the Millennium Falcon or something? Is that what it's called?
No,
that was on the east. That wasn't on the west.
No,
a whale?
You know what? I think I'm going to give Sam and you the answer because you are really quite right. It was the teeth of the oldest known human ancestor, which was actually a rat. It was a big rat.
So not a dinosaur then?
No, but it's a rat. It's like that time. You know what I mean? So it was like loads of years ago. As you know, as
it still could be a dinosaur. It doesn't have to be big to be a dinosaur.
I agree with you.
It's a dinosaur.
I agree. I totally agree. If you do dispute that and you are a dinosaur enthusiast, please do get in touch. But I'm going to give you both the answer there. It was the teeth of the oldest known human ancestor, a big rat. So well done to Kat.
Me thinking I was going to do really well here is not going well at all.
I know, I can tell it's getting to you with the with the voice there as well. I'd be lost.
Yeah, the gruff voice, I know it's that.
You get a bit Sean Dyche on his ear. I'd be lost.
To Tyson Fury. He's tweeting Donald Trump now. And have some help in the quiz.
Let's go for number five, shall we? Who sung John Lewis's advert, a cover of the Beatles, Golden Slumber? The Beatles. Kat.
Elbow.
I heard something about Elbow when people were talking about it, so I wrote Elbow down.
Elbow!
All right, yay! Across the board, well done. Doesn't stop it from being a bad song, though. Still a bad song. Not a fan.
No, I heard it.
The Beatles one was better. The Beatles one was better.
Don't like Christmas adverts.
No, I don't either. But Greg's have started doing a Christmas advent calendar, which is good. So he's made my day, really.
What? How do they keep it fresh?
No, they don't. It's vouchers, which is a bit of a cop-out, really. Because like I want to eat whatever in the advent calendar. Mm. I don't want to have to go, yay, I don't have to go to Greg's now every day for 24 days in December. Who has the time for that? No one. Anyway, let's have a count up of the scores. Kat, you got two, yeah. So well done on that one. You got two. Well done. Andy, you got one.
One, yeah.
I thought you were going to do really well.
I thought I was going to do really well.
I thought you were going to do it all.
I thought the Peyton Manning one was my definite.
Yeah, and Sam Bridges, four. A big well done to you. Four.
What place?
Well done to you there, Sam. Well done to you there. So we'll have an impossible pub quiz same time next week. Thanks again for coming on, guys.
The Impossible Pub Quiz, you can catch that every Monday at about 10 past, 1:15-ish. Something like that. So, tune in for the entire show from 11. You'll love it. Well, at least my mum does, so, you know, you might have similar tastes. So you'll catch that on Monday. I'll be back on Monday having a good chat about everything happening in the world of sport and beyond. And make sure you catch up with everything that's happened on the daytimes this week. RadioYorkshire.co.uk/daytimes. We'll see you next time around.
He's so Yorkshire, he makes me sound southern. Danny P on Radio Yorkshire.